Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We had busy as usual.
Yeah, and happy winter solstice.
Or anything else.
Merry, happy winter, Kwanzaa, Christmas, Festivus.
We've been drinking, so I'm actually surprised you could say that.
Yeah, we're trying something new on the show.
Liquor.
Which I don't do well.
No, you don't. We don't drink beer, either one of us, but I like hard liquor.
Someone made the screwdrivers and I disapprove of them.
Yeah, because it's like two shots of vodka and a splash of orange juice. Yeah, okay.
Anyways, we have new Twitter followers this week.
Awesome possum.
So let's go over them.
Yes, please do.
So Johnny Cava.
If you said that right.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Hear My Voice. Stoke the Fire. Allied Atheist. The Real Sleepski. Marquis Trill. Apostolus F. Jordette. Bite Size Atheist with a Y. And Atheist Human.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So we got more than that. We have like 100 and something followers.
Oh, or 200
and something. I don't
know. Why haven't you been keeping up with it?
I don't know.
It's your fault.
But now I will. Now I will.
It's your fault. You totally have to keep up with it.
And if you want to get mentioned on the show, you can follow us at Secular Yakking.
That's a Twitter thing.
That's a Twitter.
I don't Twitter.
Yes.
I don't Facebook. I don't Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
I do snail mail.
Snail mail. You barely do that.
No, I'm good with snail mail. I'm the polar opposite of most people.
Well, I don't accept snail mail.
I like snail mail. That's why I don't send you anything.
Yeah. Well, I don't accept snail mail for the show because we don't actually have an address for the show.
Well, that's fine with me.
You can email me. You can Twitter. You can Facebook. Whatever.
All the things I don't do.
Right. Also, we have our first Patreon supporter.
Yay.
Yay.
One.
We're paid podcasters.
We're millionaires now.
Well, $1 heirs.
Hey, we're getting there. Slowly.
Our first Patreon supporter is Atheism 101, which is one of our colleagues in the Secular Outreach Network.
Yes, very cool, cool.
Which we are now part of, which is a small group of independent secular skeptic and humanist content creators. Sun was created to allow us to combine our efforts and reach more people and create a community around what we do.
I am totally getting you to drink more.
Wow, I actually didn't screw up the words.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
All right. Maybe we'll have to go on Waiting for Wrath and try out their beer.
We're going to be... I don't do beer, though.
Well, all right, fine. We'll do some cider.
I like vodka.
Vodka.
That's just more money.
Yeah. So if you want us to drink more vodka, become a Patreon subscriber.
So we can afford vodka. That is not a good promotion. Get on with the stories.
Fine. Student slaps Florida public school with a suit for refusing to teach evolution because it contradicts the Bible.
I think this is really, really cool.
Yeah, a Boca Raton man and his young son are suing the boys' Florida school district for neglecting to teach the theory of evolution because of religious beliefs. Now, he's in fifth grade. He's 11 years old.
Right.
And he really likes evolution.
Yes, and yes. We watched this news bite on this, and his whole room is science.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
So, according to the lawsuit, and this is quoted directly from it, there are currently schools and textbooks which provide false, misleading, and dangerous information about certain religions and purposely omit factual information if it appears unfavorable to them and or politically incorrect, which caused the Palm Beach County Public School students not to receive a high-quality education required by Florida law.
So basically,
they're saying that the current curriculum doesn't do enough evolution.
Right. I thought that they weren't really teaching them evolution basically at all.
That's what it kind of sounded like.
Yeah. That's the impression I got.
They're teaching adaptation, which is, yeah, part of evolution, but it's not evolution.
Right.
So, you know, adaptation within species is well known, well documented, but so is evolution.
Mm-hmm.
But even creationists accept adaptation.
Right.
So,
and dinosaurs with saddles.
Yes, dinosaurs with saddles. And the father, who happens to be a lawyer.
That was convenient.
Yeah. Said this. It's such a magnificent story, and it's being neglected. The students are being deprived of learning from it because certain religious people don't like the story, because it contradicts the Bible. And we think it's terrible that the children shouldn't learn about the truth, about where they came from. And that's Barry Silver.
I think it's right to the point. I mean, it's right on.
Right. So they took this directly to the school board and presented it at a school board meeting.
Right. In which he said that, you know, he's willing to work with them if they want to work with him on, you know, how to make this, you know, everyone happy kind of thing. But right. If they don't, he's full willing to pursue this. So,
while I agree with what he's doing, I do have an issue. He's 11. They don't normally get heavily into evolution until 10th grade. That's usually where evolution becomes seriously part of the biology. But if they're only touching on it and not really saying evolution, even in fifth grade, they need to be talking a little bit about evolution.
Now, I'll have to say, I was in Florida in fifth grade. I lived in Florida when I was in fifth grade, and I can't for the life of me remember discussing evolution.
Right.
Then again, I barely remember that.
Yeah, fifth grade is a long time ago.
I remember everything that didn't go with school.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I remember fifth grade. I do.
I remember events that happened in fifth grade, but it didn't pertain to the school curriculum, put it that way.
Yeah, true. Anyway.
Next story, please.
Sarah Palin said something stupid.
Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah. After the GOP debate on Wednesday, Sarah Palin was asked a couple of questions by CNN. CNN.
Uh-oh.
CNN.
No.
You've written a brand new book.
Yes.
It's a daily devotional.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through. It's a pretty...
Bless your heart.
It's a pretty political devotional, right?
A lot of
intertwining of faith and politics.
Real world stuff. Yep. I think it's very important that people of faith or atheists, anybody who would be looking for answers today, the best place to go to look for answers that deal with personal problems and political problems that our world, certainly that our nation is facing, it's already spelled out for us, the answers in the Old and the New Testament. So I just wanted to direct people to where they can look, find that answer, and then be at peace and be able to live life vibrantly without worrying so much about what's going on.
So I want to stop there.
Yes, thank you. I was hoping you would, because I love how she introduced this. Like, this is a whole new thing. Like, have you ever heard of the Bible?
Have you heard the good
news?
It's
freaking awesome.
Have you heard the good news? So here's the deal. She's telling atheists to go to the Old and New Testament for guidance. Seriously? I've heard her say some pretty stupid stuff.
And political guidance as well.
And political guidance from the Bible.
Personal, yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. What?
No.
But she's so enthusiastic about, hey, dude, have you heard about this new book? It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But we're not done.
Of course not.
Okay, final question. This is the gotcha question. So I'm warning you.
All right.
Could Sarah Palin, could Governor Palin vote for an atheist who you believed had a moral compass? Maybe not a moral compass grounded in scripture, but a person who said, look, I'm a straight arrow. I lead my life according to a moral code. It just doesn't have to be biblically based.
Well, you know, if it all came down to that versus someone who believed in a religion that was hell-bent on destroying those who didn't agree with their religion, who would literally want to kill those, the infidels, who would not say, okay, I'll go along with you, you know, then I would, which means anybody who is in any way sympathetic to what's going on today, Muslim terrorists who would crucify children and behead women and stop at nothing to try to destroy us and Israel and our allies. I'd choose an atheist over that.
Okay, you're voting for an atheist over an ISIS supporter. I got you.
Oh, okay.
I got you that far.
Darn it, you made it too simple. And
Governor, but, thanks. Best
thank
of luck.
You so
nice,
much.
Nice to be with you.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
So we're a step above mass murderers.
Just barely.
You know, she'll settle for us.
So, I don't know even where to go with that statement.
That's just ridiculous.
So,
If I have to
vote for an atheist instead of some beheading murderer, fine.
Fine.
Anyway.
You're going to make me.
So, yeah. It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
It really is. I don't even know what else to say about that. I mean, it's self-explanatory, as usual.
Yeah.
She's a winner.
She's a winner.
All right, let's... You can think what you want, make your own conclusions. That's just, I'm ready to go. Move on to the next story.
That's enough, Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I can't take it.
Bill would make men wait 24 hours for Viagra.
This is the story.
Yes. South Carolina Rep. Mia McLeod pre-filled legislation Thursday designed to drive a point home about women's reproductive rights. She's attempting to make it as hard as possible for men to get erectile dysfunction drugs, as it is for women to get an abortion.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. So under her bill, a man attempting to obtain Viagra or Cialis would need to undergo a 24-hour waiting period, undergo an exam by a sex therapist to rule out psychological conditions, take a regular stress test to ensure he's healthy enough for sex, produce a notarized affidavit from a sex partner who can back up his erectile dysfunction claims, and go at least three sessions of outpatient counseling where he'd be encouraged to, quote, pursue celibacy as a viable lifestyle choice.
Like that'll ever happen.
Yeah. So I like it.
I like the concept. Well, it won't pass for sure, but
I like the idea that there is a South Carolina representative that's trolling.
Yes, that's true.
And trolling in the traditional sense, not the jerk bully sense, by the way.
Right, right.
I use it in that sense. I've never used
it. But yeah, it kind of puts the shoe on the other foot.
Right.
You know,
and they sure as hell won't go for that. She even says that. She says, I purposely tried to make it as invasive and as intrusive, as hypocritical and unnecessary as possible to make the point.
Right.
So the point is that they are more than willing to legislate a woman's uterus and what she can do with it.
Right.
But doesn't care what a man can do with his penis.
Right, exactly.
And whether it's working or not.
I also thought about, like, if they get a vasectomy, do they have to go through a whole spiel?
Well, yeah, they should.
I mean, you could go with that route, too.
For a long time, yeah, you did actually have to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because if you were, say, under 30, mm-hmm. right, and you wanted to get a vasectomy, they would make
you... They question why
you want to get a vasectomy. Because, well, you could still have children in the future. If you do this, it's maybe irreversible.
Right.
Yeah. It's their choice.
Right. It's freedom of choice.
Anyway. Why would we allow choice in our sexual habits?
I know that won't pass, but I like the idea of it.
Yeah. Actually really cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to follow up on that, but we may never see it again.
Right. Oh, that reminds me on the Florida case. I'd like you to follow up on that. Right. I'll put a note out
and see if I can follow up on it.
Okay.
Are you interested in honest and open perspective and discussion? Do you enjoy hearing people challenge the status quo, even if it means examining the bumps and bruises of the free thought community? Do the reverberations of the echo chamber make everything you hear sound trite and jaded? Are you ready for a show that dares to hold all people up to the light to examine our biases and blind spots? Then the Q might be for you. Come check out the secular safe space for critical thought, cross-examination, and a caring ear, where it's humanism first, secularism always, and where I really don't care if you're an atheist or not. Come join the conversation by searching for The Q on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever aggregator you use. But be warned, I have taken the padding off the sharp corners.
On another bill that's been introduced, and this one to the National Congress.
Okay.
It is the Saving Christmas Bill.
Saving Christmas?
Yes. A bill that's been introduced. Trouble? Yes, apparently. Just ask Kirk Cameron. He made a movie about it.
Okay.
A bill has been introduced to Congress that would protect Christmas. Because it's at risk.
It's dying.
The bill, dubbed Expressing the Sense of the House of Representatives that the symbols and traditions of Christmas should be protected for those who celebrate Christmas. That's a long, long bill name.
It's a very long bill name.
I don't even know what I said.
And you've been drinking, so that doesn't help the problem.
So the main part of the bill says this. Whereas Christmas is a national holiday celebrated on December 25th, the U.S. House of Representatives, one, recognizes the importance of the symbols and traditions of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Two, strongly disapproves of attempts to ban references to Christmas.
Oh, Lord.
And three, expresses support for the use of symbols and traditions by those who celebrate Christmas.
Oh, these are the whiners who are saying Christmas isn't a bad word.
Well, it's not a bad word. We never said it was.
No, we never did. They did.
They did, yeah. They're saying that we're trying to remove Christmas from everything. Yeah.
And we'll slap you if you say happy holidays to me or something.
We may get to that later.
Fine.
Anyway, so this is a useless bill. It's already protected. They're wasting taxpayer money.
As usual.
On a resolution to protect something that's already protected.
as usual.
Really?
Seriously.
It's the most asinine thing I've ever seen.
Oh, I'm sure there's more.
All right, I do a lot of political studies, so yeah, it's not.
I was
going to
say, it's up there with them, not most.
It's pandering it's to stupid. Their base.
It's whiny again.
It is. It's whining about, oh, my Christmas. Anyway.
Oh, that's just stupid. Move on.
So, good news.
Okay.
Very good news.
Okay.
A humanist mayor has been reelected in Franklin, North Carolina.
Oh, I didn't know there was one.
Yeah. The American Humanist Association Facebook page reports Bob Scott, a humanist and AHA member, was sworn in yesterday as the mayor of Franklin, North Carolina. He said, "Last night I decided to take my oath holding a copy of the Constitution because there's so much controversy surrounding separation of church state. I am a firm believer of keeping religion and government separate."
That is sweet. And frankly, no pun intended, amazing for North Carolina. That was freaking awesome.
Yeah,
that was a really good pun.
No, that was not a good pun. No.
I loved it.
No.
Anyways, it was not intentional. But for North Carolina, I mean, come on, we're talking North Carolina.
Yeah. On a side note, some of you know that I run the Original Motto Project.
Uh-huh.
I actually wrote to him as soon as I found out about it to see if he was willing to put up E Pluribus Unum as a promotion of separation of church state kind of thing.
Right.
And I got the exact response I wanted from him.
Okay, what was that?
He basically said, "I am not interested in putting slogans on our walls."
I like it.
That's what I wanted.
None is good.
That's exactly what I wanted.
None is good.
None is good.
Yes.
And he has no intentions of allowing "In God We Trust," "E Pluribus Unum."
Sweet.
You know, to make money, whatever. He doesn't want extra slogans.
I absolutely love that this guy is completely separation, church, and state. Period.
Yeah.
End of subject. That's how they should all be, because that's how the government is supposed to be run.
Right.
I wish I could hear more of that.
Yeah, one day we will.
Because I really, really, really wish we had, that was the majority of what we hear, not the opposite of what we already hear.
Right.
Because that's awesome.
So, moving from good news to bad news.
Of course. At least there was a little.
Yeah. Kentucky Christian homeless shelter just banned women and girls.
Oh, this guy's a jerk. Yeah. I was going to say something else.
FCC friendly, please.
I'm trying.
Emergency Christian Ministries homeless shelter in Williamsburg, Kentucky, is the only place in town, and it just became men only.
Yeah, and according to where they're from, this is the only shelter, and the next shelter that women can go to is a 40-minute drive.
40 minutes.
It's wintertime, and that's a 40-minute drive, not a walk.
They just kicked out 10 to 12 women based on biblical traditions.
Right, because the men will be too attracted to the women.
Let's hear what he has to say about it.
They may want to meet or go in, even slip in a room occasionally, and then we can't have that. It seems like these last days it's getting worse. The ungodly time. I don't know if what's happening, if it's a pull because they know it's a men and women shelter. They say, well, we're homeless. Maybe we can find somebody, a mate or something. And it's, you know, right now, if they'd done it right, it'd be fine. But, you know, they go overboard with it.
So let's start with the obvious. If they'd done it right.
You're right.
Okay. What does that mean? I'm from the South. I'm from the mountains. I don't know what that means.
What is the right, if they'd done it right?
I don't know how you could do it right.
Because, so he obviously thinks he's running in pay-by-the-hour motel or something.
No, maybe not. But his issue is that women will come in and seduce the men.
Yes.
It's always the women's fault.
Yes, because it's the woman's fault. It has nothing to do with men are proven more sexually active or anything.
No, that's not entirely true.
Oh, I swear it is.
No.
Either way, come on. Why is it the men are never, ever, ever to blame in any way in their eyes?
Because of the Bible.
I already knew that. Why did I ask that question?
Anyway, not only is he turning away women, he's turning away children.
Yes, because
of women.
Women always have children in tow.
No, because children always have women attached to them.
Because fathers don't exist.
Right.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that guy is such a sexist jerk.
Yeah. And he's basing it all on this biblical view that there shouldn't be any sex outside marriage.
Right, because they didn't do it right.
They ain't done it right.
They ain't done it right. That's right.
Anyway.
That's just, it's awful.
Hey, let's go back to Florida.
Oh, fine.
Because Florida is a hotbed of crazy.
Yeah, okay. Not going there. But
Florida legislators want to make it harder for students to remain seated during pledge.
Uh-huh.
A few Florida legislators have proposed a current statute that on requirements a sign be posted in Florida schools informing kids that they have the right to sit out the pledge be changed to make it more difficult to opt out of said
right. pledge. Right, so they don't know they have this choice.
Right, so currently, I'm going to read the statute as it currently sits.
Okay.
Each student shall be informed by posting a notice in a conspicuous place that the student has the right to participate in reciting the pledge. Upon written request from his or her parent, the student must be excused from reciting the pledge.
Okay, I have a serious issue about the whole, they have to have a written request from their parents? Right. What?
Yeah. Since when is free speech?
You have to get someone else's permission for personal free speech.
Right. Even as a kid, you shouldn't have to get permission for free speech.
No. And that's just so it makes it that much harder.
Especially since the Supreme Court has already ruled on this years ago that children can sit out the pledge on their own conscience.
Right.
So they don't have to have written permission. And that's how it's currently written. That's the law right now.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
They want to change it so that there's no longer a sign. They want to put it in a handbook.
Because they know damn well the kids don't read the damn handbooks.
Yeah, neither do most parents.
I do.
Yeah, I know you do.
I always do. But no, that's complete and total BS. Even if the parent reads it, you know, they're like, first of all, probably just skims it, don't really read it. And second of all, they're not going to sit down and discuss with the child exactly what was said from cover to cover.
Right. So that's not going to happen.
No. This is total BS, and it doesn't matter. The kids can opt out if they choose to. It doesn't matter what they want to say.
Right. Well, would you like to know why they want to change it?
Because they're dumbasses?
No, because they noticed a marked increase in students sitting out the pledge in one school district.
In the district.
In one district.
They, okay.
And that marked increase was 3 students to 5 students.
Oh, God. 2 whole students in the entire district. What were they thinking?
I know. How horrible. Allowing kids to think for themselves.
That's just crazy. That's insane.
So one of the people who proposed the bill, Representative Mike Hill, said that if he were a student in that class, the sign wouldn't stay up long. Meaning that he would probably just go rip it down. Create vandalism.
That's total BS, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, what a... Never mind.
Yeah.
But no, that's... What is wrong with people?
I mean,
why can't they accept if someone has a different opinion than them?
I know. It's ridiculous.
I mean, so what if they don't think the same that you do? Who cares? That's why everyone has their own individual rights and freedoms.
Right.
And
we have the right of conscience.
We have our, you know, everyone can think for themselves kind of thing.
Well, hopefully. But people like this don't want them to think for themselves. They want to have this enforced... nationalism is what I call it.
Hell, I think if they had their way, they would like us to not educate children whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because it would be a hell of a lot easier to control them.
Or have the churches do it.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
So this week, we are going back to Texas.
Of course we are. You gotta love Texas.
And we're going to talk about Texas Agricultural Commissioner Sid Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And his latest Facebook post,
mm-hmm.
in which he said, if one more person says happy holidays to me, I just might slap them. Either tell me Merry Christmas or just don't say anything.
Happy holidays.
Oh, his Facebook. Oh, it's so funny. You should go to his Facebook page and just see the number of happy holidays. Merry winter solstice.
Happy Festivus. That one.
His Facebook page just got inundated with people telling him happy holidays.
I love the merry winter solstice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do winter solstice. But no, the guy's a jerk.
Yeah. I mean,
come on.
Get over it. You don't have the cashier's supposed to be a mind reader.
Well, exactly. And the fact that he says I'm going to slap them.
Yeah.
That's real mature there.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
real good.
It's super mature.
But additionally, he moans about the warm Christmas because the Texas city of Orange chose to remove a nativity scene rather than allow an atheist group put up their own display.
So he's whining because the atheist stepped in and wind up getting the nativity scene taken down.
The atheist did not get the
nativity scene taken down. No, that's what he sees.
Right. The city chose to take it down instead of letting an atheist
put up a display. Right.
Because you can't see atheist displays.
Which we are doing ourselves.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We're putting up a Festivus pole.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Rainbow flag with the disco ball at the top.
Yeah.
It's awesome. State capital, Washington.
Yes. On the 21st.
Yeah, that's Monday.
Yeah, that's Monday.
Today.
Well, unless you're listening to this on like Wednesday,
oh,
then
that's
it's
a good
already
point.
Done.
Good point. Good point.
Anyway, so if
yeah, back to Texas.
You probably won't hear this in time to go see us, but whatever.
We're close enough to do it.
Yeah, true. But I'm not done with this guy because he is our Potter Award winner, obviously. So there's always more.
There's always more.
He has come under fire for the excessive bonuses to his employees.
Uh-huh.
Normally, I wouldn't care what bonuses a government official gives his employees, but this seems a bit much.
Oh, I kind of care.
Well, so long as they're warranted, right? So long as these people
deserve
them.
Yeah, but if it's in the correct, you know, amounts, not something super excessive.
Well, okay, so when we talk excessive, he gave out more than any other Texas official, including the governor, the attorney general's office, and the comptroller's office combined.
That's
so more than
ridiculous.
Three other offices.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. So he gave out, what was the number, 420,000, 421,000, 244 people.
144 people?
Yeah. Which isn't, you know, it's a couple thousand dollars per person is what it works out to.
Uh-huh.
But he's only been in office for 9 months.
Well, he's just really gung-ho, isn't he?
And he hasn't really had time to evaluate who deserves a bonus and who
doesn't.
Well,
that's kind of what I was thinking. He's the new guy. He doesn't even know anybody.
Right. I mean, he just took over in February.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He shouldn't be giving out bonuses when he doesn't know, or at least not that kind of bonus, when he doesn't know anything about the staff. Drinking can be beneficial and not beneficial to you.
Yeah, I just lost my train of thought there. I don't know what happened. Anyway, not only that, but earlier this year, he went in front of the Senate to ask for $20 million.
On top of the bonuses?
Well, the bonuses came afterwards.
Okay, so he needed $20 million before, but he still went ahead and gave out over, what, 420, 21 million, or million, thousand.
Yeah, sure. 21 million.
$1,000 bonuses.
Right.
I'm not a mathematician, but I think that's a bad choice.
Yeah, he said his department was out of money. Right.
But let's spend some more.
Yeah. And he also decided to raise fees on licensing and fines for the local farmers, ranchers, and people that he deals with.
So he raised everything for everyone.
Right.
He wants them to give him $20 million as far as the government. And he's going to give out $421,000 in bonuses.
Right. So here's my issue. If this department is so over budget that he has to ask for money and raise fees to make up budget deficits.
Right.
Do these people actually deserve a bonus?
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Why did they get a bonus? Right. At least why the hell did they get a bonus like that?
I know. Well, why any bonus? If you don't do your job, you really... Well, I'm not saying they don't do their job, but somebody's not doing something right.
Well, even if they get a bonus, it should be an appropriate-sized bonus.
Right.
And for some reason, I'm guessing that amount versus the amount of employees doesn't quite match.
Yeah, probably not.
Not to mention since he just got there.
Yeah. And guess what he did before he got there?
Before he got this position?
Yes.
Okay.
He was a state legislator.
Okay.
So he was in office in 2011, which is when a whole round of budget cuts went through the state legislature.
And he cut them all.
He cut them all. He voted yes on the budget cuts in 2011, which affected his current office.
That's funny. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Not only that, there was an additional bill that went through that was specifically for state agencies like his, which cut his budget by a third.
So he cut his own budget and now he's whining, where's the money?
Yeah. So now this guy who's against big government and against spending is asking for more money.
You reap what you sow.
You do. Normally, that probably would be enough to qualify him for a Potter.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not done.
Of course not.
I looked at some other people looked at his hiring practice, and I found it, which was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Since he took office, he has added on 9 new staff members for jobs that were never posted to the public.
Which is highly illegal.
Which in the state of Texas is illegal.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. State law, you must, in fact, all governments must post positions.
Right. And he just did an inside job.
Right. Not only did he hire 9 people, because some of those were positions probably needed to be filled. 4 of them were new positions.
Oh, like as in created.
Created.
Mm-hmm.
Called assistant commissioners.
Okay.
And he filled those jobs with 2 former colleagues from the state house, a campaign aide, and the wife of a campaign consultant.
So he made up jobs to give friends jobs.
Yes.
Basically.
With positions that pay $180,000 a year.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
And they have a deficit?
And they have a deficit, but he's paying his buddies $180,000 a year.
And giving out big bonuses.
And bonuses.
I love how he's just throwing money around like it's water, but yet whining and complaining, I need more.
Right.
Technically, I needed it before I spent all of this. Right. So now I need even more than originally.
Right. He's complaining about this huge backlog of work that has to be done, which is his partially his own fault.
So it's basically, row faster, slaves. I want a water ski.
Yes, that's what it is.
Got it.
Okay. And that's why.
He's a jerk.
He's our Potter Award winner for this week.
Yeah. Hence, jerk.
Yeah. So I think that's all the yakking we're going to have for you this week.
Yeah. The liquor is done.
Yeah. And I'm feeling kind of done.
I liked it.
Yeah, I know.
More drinking.
Yeah. I have to edit this now.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Anyway, you can find us and all the other great shows on the Secular Outreach Network at secularoutreach.com.
You almost couldn't say that.
I know. And we will see you all again next week.
Next week, Monday.
Secular Yakking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. Sun is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about the Sun and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.